As average temperatures in Wisconsin rise and heavy rains become more common, we're seeing more dangerous bacteria in the state's lakes and rivers. That can be a threat to fish and other species that live in the water and to humans. The federal government has spent billions of dollars to limit agricultural runoff that can lead to these bacterial blooms. I used to think of them as algae blooms. Turns out they're bacteria. Some experts worry that the effort isn't enough. Steve Carpenter is a professor emeritus and director emeritus at the Center for Limnology at UW-Madison. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Well, first of all, can you talk about what toxic algae is and how dangerous it can be?
Well, the toxic algae that we have are species of cyanobacteria, so they're technically bacteria, not algae. We have about four kinds in the Madison Lakes that that can produce toxins, and the toxins are very, very deadly. They can cause severe liver or nervous damage at very low concentrations. Readers may be more familiar with them through paralytic shellfish poisoning, which is a hazardous disease from toxic algae on the coast of the United States. And the chemicals are very, very similar. So these are nothing to fool around with.
And are these cyanobacteria something that's always there but in a small quantity, but when things get out of whack, they kind of take over?
That's a fair way of thinking about it. Yeah, I suspect there are always small amounts around, but when you have very high phosphorus and warm water, they tend to become dominant.
And are we seeing more blooms of this toxic life form, bacteria, I guess, lately in Wisconsin?
Yes, we are. Actually, it's a pattern that's going on worldwide due to warming of the planet and also due to high levels of phosphorus pollution in areas that have industrialized farming. And we're in the Madison Lakes, you know, they've been an issue. They were first noticed in 1880 in Lake Mendota. And so, you know, they're a long-standing problem in the Madison Lakes, but we're certainly seeing a fair number of severe blooms every year.
And you're mentioning the Madison Lakes, and that's, I know, some of the most studied lakes in world history. Is this something we would see more of probably in other lakes around the state?
Oh, sure. In all of the agricultural areas of the state, I guess probably anywhere south of Highway 29, you could see them. Certainly southeast Wisconsin has a lot of algae blooms.
And let's get into the effects of this. If a person or an animal, a pet maybe, is exposed to the cyanobacteria, what are some of the things it can do to us?
Well, it will kill you, and there are reports of pets being killed by cyanobacteria every year. I'm aware of at least one person in Wisconsin who was killed recently by them. And there may be more because it's not necessarily something that's easy to recognize. The physician would have to know to test the stomach contents for the algae.
We're talking to Steve Carpenter, emeritus professor at the Center for Limnology at UW-Madison, looking at toxic algae, actually a kind of bacteria on the rise in Wisconsin and elsewhere. And Steve, let's dig into the causes now. You've mentioned a couple so far. First, let's focus on climate change and warmer water. Why does that create ideal conditions here for the stuff we don't want?
This kind of bacteria, the cyanobacteria, do especially well in warmer water. They're, you know, different species of things that live in the water have different preferred temperatures, and these guys prefer warm water. So as we have warmer summers and warmer lake water, they are likely to become more common.
And then you mentioned farm runoff as a big source of the phosphorus. Why is that so good for the cyanobacteria?
Well, they They thrive under highly enriched conditions, conditions with high phosphorus availability in the lake. And if we didn't have the high phosphorus, the warming would not matter. So the fact that we have high phosphorus supports the tremendous growth of algae, and then because it's warmer and conditions are so rich, we end up with the cyanobacteria.
And I should ask, what does this do, apart from its effects on people and pets, what does this do to a lake ecosystem when we have these blooms?
Well, the bloom-forming algae are not particularly edible because they form big colonies. So the grazers, the native grazers, the small animals that live in the lake water, can't handle them very well. So they prefer to graze the smaller types of algae in the lake water. So it's usually not very good for transfer of energy up the food chain. The cyanobacteria are sort of a dead end in the food chain. Many aquatic organisms seem to be adapted to the toxins, and I'm not exactly sure how that works, and I think there should be more research on it, but they don't seem to suffer the toxic effects that we see in pets or farm animals or humans. Another side of these blooms is when they die and decompose, the decomposition in the warm water removes oxygen from the water very fast. And as the water deoxygenates, you can get fish kills. And we regularly throughout Wisconsin in summer see incidents of enclosed bays or small lakes where the oxygen went out of the whole bay or out of the whole lake, and the fish died.
Let's talk about solutions now. What kind of efforts are there on the runoff side of things, first of all, to try to keep that phosphorus from fertilizers from ending up in the waterways?
Well, there lots of things have been tried, and Wisconsin has actually been very innovative in trying to control this runoff, and we've had programs to control it for almost 40 years now in the state, and the most common practices try to slow down the movement of the phosphorus by putting in buffer strips or other types of vegetation to slow down the erosion and the movement of the phosphorus, and those are fine as long as the rainfall is not very heavy. But eventually, there's going to be a big storm, and those things are going to be overwhelmed. And we're increasingly finding that those practices are just not enough. Where we're headed is a need to prevent buildup of phosphorus in the soil and actually reduce buildup of phosphorus in the soil. And in order to do that, we're going to have to move toward a sort of sewage treatment for farm animals, basically, because the manure is a significant source of phosphorus, and we've just got too much of it. And as long as we're going to have the farm animals, we're going to have some way of reducing the amount of phosphorus that we put on the fields and that ultimately ends up in the surface water. And I think some sort of treatment is just like we use sewage treatment for human waste, so we're not dumping human waste into our surface waters. I think we're going to need to go the same direction with animal waste.
That sounds potentially expensive and difficult, since unlike, say, in a city, you might have a bunch of different farms over a widely dispersed area. It sounds like a lot of challenges there to do sewage treatment for animal manure.
Well, I agree. There will be a lot of challenges. The Dane County is experimenting with manure digesters, and those are located in an area where a handful of farms, four or five farms, can easily access the digester. We are moving toward larger and larger herd sizes, at least in dairy, and that makes it more cost-effective, potentially, to treat the waste from those large numbers of animals. But there's no doubt about it. We all love our cheese, we love our ice cream, we like to have milk on our cereal and so on, and we all love clean water, and we want to be able to go to the beach on the lake or go fishing or have those special experiences that Wisconsin people have on the water. And in order to have both of those, we're going to have to pay what it takes to produce the cheese and ice cream and milk in an environmentally safe way. And that's just the hard reality of how it's going to work.
You, a while back, participated in a project looking at four different future visions for the Dane County watershed in particular. As you look at this runoff problem, the cyanobacteria, if we stick with our status quo, don't do more to address this problem, what do you see in, say, 10, 15 years?
Well, if we don't do anything about the problem, it's just going to continue to get worse. So we will see more and more cyanobacterial blooms, it's simply going to be a deterioration of water quality in all of the agricultural areas of the state.
We'll leave it there. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Steve Carpenter is a professor emeritus and director emeritus of the Center for Limnology at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about an increase in dangerous cyanobacterial blooms around Wisconsin and the world.